Praise the Lord, everybody. I say, praise the Lord, everybody. You all have no idea what a joy this is for me. You can't even begin to imagine that I'm standing in the Berean Church and I'm the president of the Southwest Region Conference. This is my church. I was born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at Our Lady of the Lake Hospital. This is my church. Pastor Wegar, thank you. I don't even think you realize what you've done for me today. For me to be able to be here. You are my colleague, you are my friend, you are my brother, and I will forever be grateful to you for allowing me to come to my church to preach as the president of this conference. You have no idea. Pastor Igor and Pastor Footman, thank you, brothers, for coming together and bringing both of our churches together here in Baton Rouge. Thank you, Praise Team, for your ministry as well. I appreciate it. God bless you. But thank you for bringing the churches together. I knew I was in the right place because when I walked on the grounds, I was walking into the church and there was a lady seated in a car. And I don't think you thought that I would remember you. And there she was, Sister Geraldine Bell. And I walked in and she said, "Hi, Pastor." I said, "If that ain't Geraldine Bell," and she just started smiling. Now, Pastor Footman, she is at Faith Church.
That's right, that's right.
But years ago, there was only one church. That was the Berean Church. And you don't think I remember used to sing in the choir and Yvonne Dolores Hill used to play that organ.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Cherry Seals used to play that piano.
Yeah, yeah.
So then when I came in, I saw her. The next person I saw was Brother Seals.
Yes.
And he looked at me and he said, "We're so proud of you." Charles Edward Seals, you don't know what that meant to me. You were the head deacon then. And you the head deacon still. Let me see if my memory goes back well enough. Charles Wilson, you were the head elder. Brother Seals was the head deacon. Brother Wilson, your mother was the head deaconess.
That's right. That's right.
Gloria Woodleaf was the clerk.
That's right.
Where's Paula Adams? Paula's daddy was the treasurer. Paul Adams. The person that we call it lay activities or home missionary back then was a man named Brother Stewart. And we used to call him Handbills, Handbills, Brother Stewart. Sister Evelyn Edwards, you were the communications leader then and you still the communications leader. Then Yvonne Hills, Dolores became the clerk, but she was on the organ. And before we came to this church, some of you remember, you were there. We were on 14th Street.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
And back in 14th Street, the baptistry was in the platform. And in 14th Street, we had two sides, which was these two sections. And in the middle of those sections, there was a break. And that was where the air conditioning, the heat used to flow. I remember that, brother, I said, you remember that? And the choir used to sing, and they used to come from the back and walk to the front of the church. And Booker T used to lead the choir in. And they used to come from the back in the old church. My grandmother was the interest coordinator of the church, Mabel Sturth. My uncle was a longtime member of this church, Womack Rucker. Sister Thompson was the principal, but then later became the head deaconess of the church. And my great-grandparents used to sit in that third row where Brother Seal was sitting right there. Ernest and Marie Kimball. So if y'all know, this is my church. This is my church. Sister Gaudio used to sit right there. And back when we didn't have tambourines or drums, she was banging that tambourine. Shirley Scott was here. The Dimmons were here. Those were good days.
Yes,
sir. Brother and Sister Collins. They had a grandson who was our friend, Tommy Kane. Willie Williams was here. Edna Williams. Sister Adele Feltus used to sing in the choir, and she was my Sabbath school teacher. My aunt was her assistant, Helen Prescott. This is my church. He said, talk about your church. He probably said, send your child and offer to my church. And every summer, my brother, my sister, and myself used to come here. Grandmother sat behind Sister Gaudio. It was to sit right over there. The colors, they weren't green then. It was a burnt orange when we moved in this church. Because my great-grandparents walked from 14th Street to Fairfield. Because this was the church. My Aunt Gladys Ball was here. This was our church. I still have an uncle in this church. We've been in communication. He wanted to be here tonight. You all know him, Voltaire Sterling. But he's up in age, and he told me he wasn't feeling well. So when I come back, I've got to check on him and make sure he's okay. But he is now a member of this church. We prayed for years for him to join the church. And he joined the church. He joined the church. To look out for Berean and Faith, because these are the churches of my birth. Pastor Weegar said, send some gifts to Berean. I was in Hammond this morning and I brought gifts, because I've got to look out for Southern Louisiana, and I brought gifts. Pastor Weegar said, where are the gifts? But let the record reflect, I sent a gift to the church. Did I not? Somebody, are you in the church here? Are you in the church? But you heard about it. I sent some money to the church before I came. Pastor Weegar said, keep it coming. What she said. Praise be to God. It's good to be home today. It's good to see. I know I'm in the right place. Some of you. He was with me in Hammond today, and I got pulled over on the way from Hammond to Baton Rouge. The police pulled me over, and I began praying that prayer. Lord, show some mercy on me. The state trooper got out, me out of the car, and he said, do you know why I pulled you over? No, officer, please tell me why. said, you were going 89 in a 70. I say, officer, I'm a preacher. I preached in Hammond. I'm on my way to Baton Rouge. Where in Baton Rouge? I said, Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church, 4555 Fairfield Avenue. And he looked at me. He said, you trying to do some good stuff, aren't you? I said, I am. He said, here, just slow down. I said, hallelujah! But I'm grateful to come on this occasion for this ordination service of these fine individuals. I'm grateful to the Lord that we see young adults being ordained. I am grateful to the Lord that we see women being ordained as elders in the church. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So, I need you to know I love you. I told our brothers and sisters in Hammond, you know I must love you. I had to preach last night in San Antonio for the North American Division Advent Scholars Convention. And then I had to wake up at 3 this morning to catch a 5 o'clock flight out of San Antonio, which took me to Houston, which took me to New Orleans, then drove from New Orleans to Hammond, preached there. We had a Holy Ghost time there. And then I got in the car and drove here. I'm going to preach again. So you know I must love you. So I'm saying y'all better say amen. Come on, say amen. Praise be God. We're ready to get in the Word of God as we set these individuals aside for ministry tonight. If you have advice, keep praying. Don't play until it stops, I tell you. Sister Hill and Sister Woodley, Sister Cherry. Cherry and my mother went to school together. Played the piano. Then Brother Pete came.
That's right.
And Pete used to play the piano at the church. Amen. So we have next generation. God bless you. Keep playing until I tell you to stop. All right. My parents are watching. They're so excited. My wife is watching. She's so excited. Our daughters are watching. They cannot be here. Our two oldest daughters are at Oakwood. One is a junior at Oakwood. She's 20. Our middle child is a freshman at Oakwood. She's 18. And our baby girl is 7. So I got 20, 18, and 7. Praise God. And so my wife is watching, my parents are watching, our girls are watching. They end school this week at Oakwood. And so my wife is there, and tomorrow they have to go to a funeral I can't be at because I have to do a funeral in Austin. Our daughter, oldest, has to speak. Other than that, they would be here. So what we're going to do is we're coming back, I believe, next month, pastors, for a Southern Louisiana or New Orleans Slidell get together. And I'm going to drive down to Baton Rouge, because I want to go see my cousin. I want to go see my old house, my grandmother, 1220 Mayhall Drive. I want to go see the house. I want to go by 14th Street. I want to go see the current school, Martin Luther King, and I want to go see our school we built on Osborne.
That's right.
And be able to show my kids where I grew up so they will understand. My mother grew up on North 39th Street in the park. Y'all don't know anything about that. And so I'm going to take them through so they can see where their roots are. Because, Oakwood was wonderful. Berean was wonderful in Atlanta. Houston was wonderful. Breath of Life was wonderful. But I want to show my children my roots. Wilson, oh, if my grandmother could see me now. If my great-grandmother could see me now. If my Uncle William, W.C. Jones, who used to be president, if he could see me now. But when we get to heaven, we'll tell them. The word of the Lord says in the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 1, verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee to be a prophet of the nations. Give me a little bit more on this mic, sis. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set this day, set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out and pull down and destroy and throw down and to build and to plant. To our ordinance today, you've been called. Father in heaven now, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Speak through us, through these lips of clay. Challenge, God, these ordinance, I pray. Thank you for the pastor of this church. Thank you for the pastor of the Faith Church. Thank you for our members. Now speak for your servants here. Forgive me of my sins, hide behind your cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. And amen. Amen. To everyone under the sound of my voice, whether you're in the sanctuary or you're watching by the internet, to everyone who's hearing me, I need to be clear this evening. It is God's desire for you to succeed. Do I have a witness in this place? Now, I've learned in my life, almost 50 years old now, I've learned in my life that if nobody else is rooting for you, God is. That God's got your back. When your back was against the wall, God had your back. Do I have a church in this place tonight? When it looked like your family was going to be torn apart, God had your back. When it looked like you were going to fail, fall, falter, and flutter, God had your back. As a matter of fact, God demonstrated this by sending his own son that he might come, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. When God created us, he created us with purpose. When God created you, he created you with purpose. And the purpose God created you with was designed not for your glory, but for God's glory. And there are some young people who wonder, what am I going to do with my life? There's a lot of folk who say, what am I doing with my life? And then yet there are some legacy individuals who say, have I done anything with my life? But you have to understand that everything that's happening, what happened in your life, is all according to God's plan. I read somewhere in the Word of God in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So God has great plans for your life. And that's why even though the devil tried to kill you, even though the devil tried to take you out, even though the devil tried to knock you down, even though he tried, he couldn't do it because God's not through with you yet. God has a calling on your life. That's why you're in Baton Rouge. That's why you're at Berea. That's why you're at Faith Church. That's why you're on the job you're on. That's why you're in the school you're in. God has a calling on your life, and this calling happened before you were even born. God's calling on your life is illustrated in the life of Jeremiah. If there's anybody in Scripture that had nine lives, it was Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet that keeps bouncing back time after time after time. I mean, every challenge, everything he encounters, everything he's faced with, he keeps bouncing back, back, and back. On one occasion when he felt like giving up, he begins to bounce back. And he says, okay, I thought about it. I can keep bouncing back because it's like fire shut up in my bones. On another occasion, when he writes in the book of Lamentations, he laments about having the blues and dealing with depression. He begins to talk about how his good times had literally escaped him. But then he begins to talk about the fact that every morning, new mercies, he says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is because of his mercies that we are not consumed. Because thy compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah keeps bouncing back. Why? Because Jeremiah has been called. Jeremiah has been what, everybody? Called. The text says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou becamest out of thy mother's womb, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nation. So, ordinance, from this text, we have the answer to the biologist. From this text, we have the answer to the sociologist who wonders, when does light begin? I mean to tell you that light began before you were the embryo in your mother's belly. Before the sperm hit the egg, before the X chromosome and the Y chromosome came together, before your mama and your daddy connected, God was already at work in your life.
Right.
Whether you know it or not, God had begun you before you began. Before you were you, God had already you, you. In other words, your I was here before your you arrived. And when your I was here, your you showed up and you met your me. Do I have a witness in church? There were a series of events that took place before you were born, before you were even manifested in the flesh. God was actively involved in your life. God was ordering your steps before you even became you. You are a product of divine providence and divine navigation. Before you came out of your mother's womb, before your mom even thought about having you, God said, I already knew you were going to be born on the day you were born. And I orchestrated the events so you had to be born. Somebody doesn't get this, so let me break it down. You see, God was navigating circumstances that before you even began, that your granddaddy decided to go out one day. And when your granddaddy went out one day, he saw a fine woman named your grandma. And when he saw your grandma, your granddaddy didn't realize that God had hooked that thing on up. He went on and hollered, as the young people say, he hollered at your grandmama. And your grandmama gave him a chance. He bought her some popcorn and they had a root beer float. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They went to the preacher, got married, had a few children, and one of them was your mama. Your mama went through adolescence, teen life, reached young adulthood, and then God put her in a position that one day some man started chasing her. And that chasing man was your daddy. He was running after your mama. He probably said, do you know CPR? She said, no. He said, because you take my breath away. He told her he was out of raisins, so could he have a date? He said, excuse me. Trying to help the young man out tonight. Come on, say it. He said, excuse me. Can I have the time? I check my watch, but I can't take my eyes off you. But God was doing all of that because God knew that your daddy had to meet your mama.
That's right.
So you could show up.
Right.
It was orchestrated.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I said it was orchestrated.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jeremiah said, before I formed thee in the belly, God told him, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. Now understand what the text says. The text says, I sanctified you, which means I set you apart.
That's right.
That's why we're here tonight, because God has set you apart. God has sanctified you. The verb sanctified means, as we know, to set something or someone apart for specific use, which means even before Jeremiah was born, he was set apart for a special task. So God says, now that you've been born, I ordain you to be a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, when you came out, you got your marching orders. You got your assignment. That's why there's been something on the inside of you since you've been a child that has always guided you. And you realize it was because when you tried to go this way, it pulled you back that way.
Right.
When you try to go that way, it pulls you back toward what God had already begun in your life before you even born. You see, when God's calling is on your life, God's calling is that thing that wakes you up at night. It's that thing that makes you go on in spite of what people might say, in spite of what people might do, in spite of what the odds are that are stacked against you. It's that thing that gives you passion in life. Pastor O'Meara says, how do you do what you do? Because this is what I've been called to do. And there's something within me that I cannot explain. All that I know, I thank my God. I've got something within.
Right.
And you see, you don't realize that passion is tied to a prophetic anointing.
That's right.
God sanctified you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God set you apart. You've been set aside. I know we're ordaining you, but let me be clear this evening. You've been ordained not by man, but by God. So let people call you crazy if they want.
Yes.
You do what God tells you to do.
That's right.
If you got to walk by yourself, you got to stay on course to where God has you. I tell myself, I'm going to be like Nehemiah. I'm going to do a good work, and I'm not coming down off this wall. I got to be like Jacob. I'm going to wrestle with God, and I'm not going to let go until he blesses me.
Yes.
I'm going to be like David, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I've got to be like the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind me. I'm reaching to those things which are before me. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be ye steadfast.
Yes, sir.
Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I told Abraham today, I wish someone would shake me out of this church. I wish someone would try to shake me away from Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know my labor is not in vain. I've been called. You've been called.
Yes, sir.
We've been called. Stop copping excuses. You've been called. Quit making and quitting. You've been called. Stop running. You've been called. Quit worrying about what people think. You've been called. Let me tell you when my ministry took off. When God delivered me from people. I wish I had a witness in
church.
Quit worrying about what people say. You've been called. Some people always have an excuse of why we can't do what God wants us to do. Let me tell y'all, Moses stuttered. Abraham, they said, was too old. Josiah, they said, was too young. But God never had anybody he could use that was perfect. You see, perfect people don't give good testimonies.
That's right.
I wish I had time.
Yes.
Moses was a murderer.
That's right.
Abraham was a liar. John the Baptist ate bugs. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer. Samson was a womanizer, and he had dreads. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Peter was a liar. Martha was a worried boy. Zacchaeus was short. But you don't have to be a star to be a God's church. Choose from.
That's right.
You see, no one in this world is pure.
Nope.
No one in this world is perfect.
Yeah.
All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then the last part of verse 5 tells us about Jeremiah's purpose. He said, I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
In the very first verse of Jeremiah chapter 1, we see that Jeremiah's father was a priest. Actually, his granddaddy was a priest as well. Now, to be a priest in the biblical day was a good thing. It was a cool thing. But Jeremiah wasn't called to be a priest. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, and there's a difference. You see, it wasn't so cool being a prophet because a prophet was not always popular among the people. But I've learned in my ministry, you can't be popular and prophetic at the same time. Everyone liked having priests around, but not everyone liked it when the prophet showed up because his preaching wasn't always positive. Jeremiah's 40-year ministry focused on the nation's sinfulness and impending judgment. His was not a prosperity message. So some of y'all want Pastor Weegar and Pastor Footman to preach prosperity. God hasn't called them to preach prosperity. God has called them to preach the word of God. You gotta get away from all these 5 steps to this, 10 steps to that. If you get this, you'll get that. Now you gotta stop all that. Jeremiah's message was a message of coming tragedy. And as a result, he was misunderstood. He was arrested. He was in prison. And he was in constant danger of losing his life. But you know what? That was okay. Because a prophet's primary purpose was to announce God's message, exposing sin and calling sinners back to their covenant responsibilities before God. Let me be clear. A prophet is not a fortune teller.
That's right. That's right.
A prophet is not a predictor.
That's right.
But a prophet is a spokesperson.
That's right.
A mouthpiece.
Yeah.
A voice.
Yeah.
For God. If you're being ordained as an elder today, you better understand Jeremiah had a job, and so do you. God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. God's word is not just for one group of people. Read the text. It's for the nations. So you see, Pastor Wegar and Pastor Footman aren't just called to pastor Berean and Faith. God's called them to be prophets for the nations. That means Adventists and non-Adventists. That means blacks and whites, Jews and Gentiles, young and old, and each one of us has a purpose and calling according to God's plan. You see, God is a calculated God who has a methodology. He is not a God who is asleep and slumbering, but he's a God, my friends, that has a plan and strategy. And sooner than later, you're going to come to the point where you will ask him, Lord, how do I fit in your plan?
That's right.
Not my plan, but your plan. You see, I've learned, you know, many of you saw this little boy running around here singing for AY and Berean. I remember we used to sing all that song, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, and all those songs we used to stand up here and sing. That's how I learned to do what I'm doing now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why I'm so indebted and grateful to this church. Because when I was off key and I would get up here and preach and talk, y'all just smiled and said, you doing well, baby, anyhow. That matured me. That developed me. Are you hearing what I'm saying, everybody? But as I've gotten older, I've learned that people aspire to whatever they see up front.
That's right.
People without purpose seek the position of the person up front. So we're inundated with preachers. Everybody wants to preach. We're inundated with teachers. Everybody wants to teach. Everybody wants to be a doctor. Everybody wants to be a lawyer. Everyone wants to do something that they think is significant and important because they subscribe to the ideology that if I do something that is important, that will make me important. But you can have more titles than space to put them. More degrees than a thermometer. But if you don't know who you are and whose you are, a title will not give you direction, fulfillment, or purpose. People always subscribe to the idea of being things, the idea of being a president, the idea of being a pastor, the idea of being a doctor, the idea of being a dentist, the idea of being a lawyer, the idea of being a singer. But be careful what you see, because all that glitters is not gold. What you see may not be what is. What's on the outside may not be what's on the inside. Make sure you know God's purpose for your life. Make sure you know God's calling on your life. There's nothing worse than investing 20 years into nothingness. 10 years into an illusion. 5 years of my life is too long to spend doing something that I was not created to do. I don't want to be what I'm not. God, why am I here? Why am I here? God, what is my calling? Lord, what is my purpose? Not what the brethren believe I should be. Not what other people believe I should be. But God, what have you called me to be? Listen to me, there's nothing worse than living and dying and never being what you were supposed to be, when you were supposed to be, and how you were supposed to be. Somebody doesn't understand what I'm saying. Give me a little time. Give me a little time. Let me break this down. Let me tell you this. Have you ever done a jigsaw puzzle and it had a piece? Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You had a piece that you tried to cram in place and it didn't fit because you were tired of looking, Sister Small, for the right spots. So you kept pounding that thing because that puzzle piece was getting on your nerves. And you said, this is enough. And you took your fist and you tried to hammer that piece of the puzzle in the rest of the way. And it may have hammered in and been in for a little while, but the piece kept popping out. And the piece kept popping out because the piece was not designed to fit in that spot.
That's right. That's right.
That's what has happened to somebody in their life. You keep popping out of something that you were never meant to be in the first place. Something or somebody pulled you into something that you were never meant to be in. Let me tell you something. You can't buy purpose. Purpose will make you leave a job that pays more. And make you take a job that pays less. things are better than money. Some things can't be bought. Purpose is not for sale. You can't write a check. You can't give a credit card. Not when something is in your spirit and or something in your soul is telling you that you were created for more than your situation and more than your circumstances. Lord, don't let me die until I do the thing that I was created to do. Lord, let me go where I fit and where I belong.
That's right.
Talking to people about aspiring, people aspiring to what they see in front of them. I've also learned, and I haven't learned this yet as a president, but I learned this in pastoring those churches he was talking about. People always want your power, but they never ask you for your pain. And I tell people, if you're not willing to carry my cross, you can't wear my crown, because my crown is created by the intensity of my cross. I've never known anyone who was incredibly powerful who was not equally painful. No battle, no blessing. No pain, no gain. No valley, no victory. But the good news is that the greater the battle, the greater the blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, one more story. Growing up in my home, even probably during the summers when I came to Baton Rouge, we had what we call the bird car wash. Now see, young people don't know today, Ellen Lawrence, because today we just go to the car wash. Somebody knows the car. We drive through, we get our cars washed, and then our cars are vacuumed. But somebody knows back in the day, we didn't have all that. In my house with my mom and my dad, my brother, my sister, and I, we were the bird car wash. And we were the bird car wash, and we didn't get paid for washing the car. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. We didn't get tips for washing the car. Every Friday before the Sabbath, the bird car wash was in operation. But I learned something at the bird car wash.
All right.
If you want a water hose to shoot further, you have to squeeze the hose. And the more you squeeze the hose, elder, the further the water shoots, because it is the restriction that creates the pressure for the propelling of your destiny. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We are here, I'm saying, right? If you want to know your purpose, I'm an elder, but what's really my purpose? I'm a deacon, but what's really my purpose? I'm a deaconess, but what's really my purpose? If you want to know your purpose, you will never discover your purpose until you discover the core of your pain. In order to get to your purpose, you have to know it's never going to come easy. You got to fight for it. And God wants you to be tough enough. Because we got too many weak Christians around here. God has called you to be a warrior, not a wimp. A soldier, not a scaredy cat. A conqueror, not a coward. God wants you to be tough enough to fight for your purpose. So when he wants you to go forward, sometimes he'll hold you back. When he wants you to go up, sometimes he will hold you down. I wish I had a witness in this place. And when some of our elders be ordained, you know, you young adults, talk to some of these older elders. Get some experience from them. Because when you begin to look back over your life, and you see how God has blessed you, how God has kept you, how God never left you. You may not have everything you want. You may not be in the best place where you want to be. And you may not even serve him like you're supposed to serve him. But isn't it amazing that even when you went wrong, God went right? And I may not be where I should be, but I praise God, I'm not what I used to be. Because somebody knows late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around. It's going to work in your favor. Bring it. Pay church. Praise him. Praise him. I don't want to get on your nerves, but I've got to praise him. stand up and be a witness for the Lord. God says, I'm tired of raising that floor. All you want to do is what you want to do. All you want to do is follow the Lord. All you want to do is conform to the system, conform to the structure, be like everybody else. But God told me to tell you, you haven't been called to be like everybody else. We used to sing in Sabbath school back in that room right there where it's now your office. Sister Feltis and my aunt used to teach us, dare to be a daddy. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose for it and dare to make it known. You've been called before I formed thee. I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. You've been called. You've been chosen. You've been anointed. You've been selected. You're the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. You're the leader.